And welcome to So Old Too. This is Lou Perez, and this is the podcast that is putting oxygen back into the Christian walk, one soul at a time. We've been talking about the meaning of hope. What is hope? And I felt like we were not done last time with discussing the idea that hope is much bigger than we think, and how that we have these constructs as human beings and as religious people sometimes, that hope is only about me. It's only about my salvation. And to some, it's only about avoiding hell or going to heaven. And it's this individualistic thing that is very big in Western culture, because we're big on the individual, on me being my own person. And we might be missing a bigger picture. And so today I'd like to talk about the bigger picture. What is the bigger picture of salvation? What does it mean to work out of a bigger frame of salvation? Because maybe you or I have been peeking through a peephole as to what salvation is or what hope is. And our idea of hope and our idea of being saved is only about me, and it's only about me just making it. And but here's a suggestion today of what big picture salvation is. In the scriptures, salvation, even though it definitely deals with humanity and God so loved the world and he loves us, but salvation involves the entire cosmos. The word world in the Greek, when it says God so loved the world, is cosmos. So it's not just people, but the whole of creation. The whole of creation God cares for, and he's restoring. When God created the world, it says that it was good, which means that he loved his creation, not just people, but everything he made. What God is doing to your hearts, your minds, your bodies, and spirits in transformation is what he's doing to the whole cosmos. That's part of why I believe, Jesus died on the cross, he died definitely for us, for human beings, but he also died to set back in order creation, because creation has become broken and tainted because of evil. But also, God loves and relates to all creation, not just humans. In Job chapter 12 and verses 7 through 9, there's a scripture where there's this discussion between God and Job, and someone is talking about this, and he asked the questions, but ask the animals and they will teach you, the birds of the air and they will tell you, ask the plants of the earth and they will teach you, and the fish of the sea will declare to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? Now, in the scriptures, there is a belief here that creation has some kind of, even though they don't cogitate the way humans do, they don't think the way humans do, but there's some kind of connection with their creator. And we don't know what that is. We don't know what it looks like. I couldn't explain it. It would be foolish to try. But nevertheless, here it is. Genesis 9:8 puts it this way. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, as for me, I'm establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you. Wow, I underline that, every living creature. And then he specifies the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. So here God makes a covenant, not just with humans, but with animals. What is that about? I thought animals were dumb. Well, they're dumb in the definitions that they don't process the way we do, they don't think the way we do, but it doesn't mean that they're dumb. They have a connection with their creator in some way. And I'm saying that the Savior, when he died for us, absolutely yes, as human beings. But I am convinced that he also died to restore his creation to its proper order. Even something as insignificant as a small bird. In Luke 12, it says, yet not one of them is forgotten in God's sight. But even the land has some kind of connection to God. In Leviticus 18:26, it says, the land will vomit you out for defiling it, as it vomited out the nations, the nation that was before you. Here God is saying that the land has some kind of connection, some kind of awareness that we don't even understand. Plant life has a connection to its creator. It says in Deuteronomy 20:19, if you besiege a town for a long time, make war against it in order to take it, you must not destroy its trees by wielding an axe against them, although you may take the food And he emphasizes, you must not cut them down. Our trees in the field, human beings, that they should come under siege from you. What is God saying? He's saying to protect the environment. And I really believe that for some of us Christians, we have a problem with this whole environmentalist idea, and we think, you know, the liberals are environmentalists. And I would suggest to you that why should anybody else steal the message that God gave us? God told us to take care of the land. That's our job. We should care about what happens in the world. And if God created all things and loves his creation, do you think he plans to redeem just people or everything? Jesus told his disciples this in Matthew 19. He says, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man is seated in the throne of glory, you who have followed him will also sit on 12 thrones. But the emphasis that I'm trying to focus on in the scripture is when he says, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things. So he didn't just say of people there, but of all things. And we find that salvation, big picture salvation, involves not only all creation, but the whole person, not just part of them. What do I mean by that? Plato was one of the first people to postulate the idea that he believed that the immortal soul, which he considered reason, spirit, and appetite, is the true self and is imprisoned for a time in the body. And this was taught by many theologians, even church fathers taught that, okay, so you have the soul and then you have the flesh, and they're kind of like these separate things. But then St. Thomas Aquinas came along and he said both body and soul together constitute the human. That all of us are made up of, it's all interwoven. My body is not separated from my spirit. I'm together. We're all one unit in a sense. And when your spirit feels down, your body is affected, right? You ever notice that? So the soul is not just the unseen part of you, but the whole person. And we find that Paul talks about offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, because our bodies are part of what makes up our souls. They're not separate. So salvation entails all of that. Hope entails all of that. And then we're going to close with this thought that becoming a new creation in Christ is another big part of big picture salvation. That heaven is not just a destination, but renovation in this life is. That God is renewing things now. That there's something in the air, so to speak. And salvation then is not just going to heaven, but it's being raised to life in God's new heaven and new earth, says N.T. Wright. A person can be sitting here, dead in their sins, or alive in Christ. So we find that God gives us a bigger picture of what it means to be saved. And in his picture, we look at the simple idea that it's not just about me. When I make it about me, then church becomes boring and things just become religious. But when I realize that he loves all creation and cares about it, man, that makes a difference, doesn't it? If you like this podcast, subscribe and share it with a friend.